Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about a biblical view of sin. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 again together. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over the Apostle John's test of true salvation by going over his biblical definition of sin. In order to comprehend the human condition properly, we must have a biblical view of humanity rather than a view that comes from the pagan world. John wrote these three verses that we just read for a very specific reason. We have to understand, brothers and sisters, that John wasn't just writing generically about sin in these verses. No, John was giving the Christian church inspired guidance on how to combat very specific false teaching about sin that was abounding in his day and in ours. All throughout Asia Minor during the first century, there were a great number of false and deceitful teachers proclaiming a warped message about Jesus Christ and sin. In addition to the Gnostic lie of Docetism that we already studied, which taught that Christ's body only appeared to be human, but was really nothing more than spirit, there was an assortment of other heresies that were gaining in popularity in that region during that time, like Cerinthianism, which taught that Christ's divine spirit descended down to him at the moment of his baptism, but left him as at crucifixion, and various versions of Greek philosophy, which is the foundation of all Gnosticism. Although these teachings were all different, they did have one thing in common. They all denied the biblical reality of both sin and evil. Those who were deceived by these teachings came into the Christian church in John's day and began to teach believers that since all spirit was good and all flesh was bad, that they did what they did in their flesh, was not a real serious issue, since the flesh was bad anyway. The net result of this false teaching was that sin began to not only be acceptable in people's minds, but sin was actually welcomed to these deceived people as defining the great difference between the flesh and the spirit. As the Apostle John came into contact with these false teachers, he knew that he had to stop them at the door, or what they taught would seep over into the church, and the truth about sin would be lost forever. So John wrote these inspired words in these three verses to give us a true test about the reality of sin. Now I want to pause here for just a moment and say this. Anytime we begin to discuss a doctrine like this, we must return back to what we have already studied. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible clearly teaches that if we desire to be in right fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, we must also be in right fellowship with John and the other apostles through what they wrote in inspired scripture. As an apostle, John was specially chosen and ordained, and along with the other apostles, John had the God-given authority to establish Christian doctrine. All Christian doctrine was established by those men whom God inspired to write Scripture, especially the epistles. So when John describes something for us, this is not just John's opinion. Brothers and sisters, you and I cannot read what John or Paul or Peter says and then put our own spin on it. No. It is our duty to study what John and the other apostles said and then research it, break it down, so that we may comprehend what these holy men wrote, so that what we believe and what we teach is in accord with them. Think about it. How could anybody be correct if what they believe or teach is out of sync with the men whom God Almighty anointed to pen down the New Testament scriptures? That would be impossible. If my view or my understanding of sin, or if your understanding of sin is different than what John says here in these three verses, then our understanding of sin is false, and it's wrong. Another way of saying this is that if our view of sin, or anything else, is not in alignment with John's view in Scripture, then it is unscriptural. It is unbiblical. Because John's view is what the Bible says. Because John helped to write the Bible. So John's view as recorded in Scripture is inspired. John's view here in this epistle is inerrant. John's view is infallible. John's view of sin and salvation and everything else is the one true and correct view because it is in alignment with Peter, Paul, and Jesus and Moses and is the correct view for all of us today. This further distinguishes those men from us. If I were to say that my view was inspired, or if any man today were to say that if anyone doesn't agree with them, then they're wrong, then that would be overstepping their authority. If any man today says that they hear directly from God and that their words are equally inspired as Scripture is, and equally as infallible and equally as inerrant as Scripture, and that all men must agree with them, then that person is self-deluded and should not be followed because no man has the authority to say that today. But what we can say and what we must say is that Scripture is inspired and Scripture is infallible and Scripture is inerrant. And the best that any of us can say today is that we are in agreement with Scripture because the one single true interpretation of Scripture is absolute and objective and is not a matter of opinion or personal viewpoint, and every person on earth, including all the pastors, are subject to the authority of Scripture. So our struggle today, beloved, is not to obtain more divine revelation, because we already have divine revelation. Our struggle today is not to try to hear from God, because God speaks today solely through His Son Jesus Christ in Scripture. Our struggle today is not to create any new doctrine, because all Christian doctrine has already been created. Our job is not to establish the church on the earth, because the one single Christian church has already been established. No, our job is very simple. We who make up the visible church on earth today are to study the already existing Scriptures so that we may be approved by God as a skilled craftsman, so that we are not novices, and so that we do not twist the Scriptures to our own destruction, and so that we do not go around and tickle people's ears or entertain them with what they want to hear, but so that we may speak the truth in love. Our job is that once we correctly and rightly interpret the word of truth, and we arrive at the reality of what the Bible actually says, we are then to graciously humble ourselves to those words. And by doing this, we are worshiping the Lord, and we are bringing great honor to Him, and we are showing our respect and admiration for that which God has said by studying what God said and then submitting to it. So because that is true, we must teach, for example, that the Pope of Rome does not have the authority to define truth any more than I do. That also means that television evangelists do not have the power to create or even define doctrine any more than you do. We cannot, beloved, reshape Christianity into our own likeness and image. We must all graciously submit to the absolute standard of truth in Christian faith, which is the Holy Scriptures. Any deviation from the Scriptures in either belief or practice is in effect the creation of a new religion, because true Christianity is firmly based in Scripture. Now, what all that means is this. If by reading or studying what John says here about sin, we begin to see that our understanding of sin is in alignment with John, then praise God. Our view of sin has been confirmed as being correct. But if after we read and study this passage here in 1 John, we see that our comprehension of sin is out of alignment with John, then we have the responsibility and the duty to repent and to adopt that which John teaches here about sin. Our views may make perfect sense to us, and we may be very sincere about our beliefs, but if after studying the Scriptures we see that our view is off base, we must then reject our view and accept what Scripture says. This is what I mean by submitting to the authority of Scripture. So the issue is not that I'm right and anybody who disagrees with me is wrong. Not at all. I have never said that. I do not believe that. And I hope I don't come across as thinking that way. I have just as much an opportunity to be wrong as anybody else does. What I am saying here is that all of us must be very careful that what we believe and what we teach is in accord with Scripture, because the Bible is right. Now, I want to repeat something that I said earlier. Beloved, we do not have the right or the luxury of teaching something or even believing something that is not taught in sacred scripture. To teach something that is in conflict with scripture is a sin. And most all of us would agree with that. But we have to go even further because John makes it clear here in the first part of this first chapter that if we desire it all to be in right standing and in right fellowship with Jesus Christ, we must be in right, in one mind, in one accord with John about these issues. So that means, Christian friends, that we cannot and we must not believe any differently than John about these issues. The understanding and interpretation of Scripture is therefore not a matter of personal opinion. Biblical truth is not subjective, and the meaning of Scripture is not determined by emotional whims. Biblical truth is objective, and firmly established in the correct interpretation of Scripture is not simply a matter of personal opinion. That is why it is so solid, and why the Bible is trustworthy, and why Scripture is dependable, precisely because it transcends human logic and is higher than changing cultural standards. We are expressly commanded not to put our own personal spin on anything that is in the Bible. For example, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 tells us, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So we have to understand and we have to study and have to spend time to investigate, and we have to value Scripture enough, my friends, to struggle with the Bible until we come to a right and a proper and a true understanding of that which God has said, or we're going to get it wrong, and we're going to get an incorrect understanding. Now, I've been told by several people that I'm being very naive about this. I've been told that people simply are not going to study their Bibles in the 21st century, and that I'm really wasting my time saying these things. And my response is this. I fully realize that most people, even in church, are simply not going to study their Bibles. But I will tell you that is precisely what is wrong in the modern church. Why do you think so many people today don't have answers to life's problems? Why do you think so many people today are investigating and accepting ancient heresies? Why do you think that so many today are falling for the same traps that people fell into 1900 years ago? It is because Bible knowledge is at an all-time low. And I don't believe for a second that the issue today is with people not having enough time to read the Bible, but rather on how much value we place on the Bible. Most all of the people who tell me that they don't have time to study the Bible always seem to have plenty of time to watch television. They always seem to have plenty of time to go shopping. They always seem to have plenty of time for activities that they really like to do. So I really don't buy the excuse that people don't study their Bibles because of a lack of time. No, the real issue for most of us today, dear friends, is one of value. How valuable is God's Word to us? How important is it to you on a scale of 1 to 10 that you know and understand what God Almighty has said? I hear people tell me all the time that they believe every single word in the Bible, and I know that when they say that, they mean well. But really and truly, dear friends, how do you know you believe every word in the Bible if you've never read the Bible? People will answer me and say, "Well, I believe every word in the Bible because it is God's Word." And again, I know that they mean well when they say that, but if it is God's Word, then doesn't it deserve our attention? I mean, why did God give it to us? So we won't read it? So we don't know what it says? So we will remain unfamiliar and ignorant of the only book that God gave to man? And what do we tell all of those people who came before us, who were tortured and murdered, so that the Bible could be translated into English and would be easier for us to read? That we were just too busy watching the NBA finals or planting our petunias to read the Bible? So I look at this issue as a matter of value. And if the Bible is not really that big a deal, then go ahead and feel good about ignoring it. But if the Bible is precious, and if reading and studying and knowing inspired and inerrant and infallible truth is important to you, then I promise you, you will find time to spend with it. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.